Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I'm so excited about being here with you. I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world, and our Gulf Coast WHBR audience every Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. And we're so excited about being here. My goodness. But you know what? There's nothing like a suddenness that can begin to you know, Dad has a way of motivating his sons.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And daughters as children. Well, you know, if you think about this, that those that the Lord uses, quite often people are trying to, you know, get so perfect so that God can use you. And hopefully we've proven by now you don't have to be.
This is true.
But the,
no doubt.
But you think about this, you know, as I was spending time abiding and in the Word and just praying, meditating on God's Word, I was reading through the book of Mark and Mark chapter 16. You know, this is when Jesus has been risen. He's already been risen from the dead. And he's speaking to, he appears to Mary after his resurrection. And he says, listen, go tell the disciples that I'm here, you know. And she did. You know, she went and told them. And they didn't believe her. And they didn't believe him who sent her, right? Mm-hmm. And so then he appears to a few others. And he says, you know, go and tell them. And they go and tell them. And they still don't believe. These are the ones that he walked with for 3 years that they saw everything that we read about, right?
And he told them he was coming back.
Yeah, he told them he's coming back. And then so then he shows up. And obviously they're going like, oh, I'll be doggone.
Look at here.
Look here. And Mary's like, I told you so. I told you. And then Jesus, the resurrected Christ, rebukes them for not believing. Their stubborn refusal to believe and their lack of faith. Mm. But then the next thing we read about is, so then he commissions them. Jesus commissions them and sends them out to preach the message about him so that we can actually receive that message, believe that message, and enter into the kingdom of God. And then he said, and he did, he said, and these signs will, listen, I'll even bring signs of, you know, deliverance and tongues and, you know, you'll be able to survive persecution and healings and all these things taking place. And when you say the words that I tell you to say, when you say my word, I'll back it up, confirming it. I'll work with you in this. And it's like, how many people would have said, listen, I just died on the cross for your sins.
Right.
I just died on the cross for your sins. I've walked with you. I mean, you're the 11 that I, you know, you're the 11 that I walked with. And you don't even believe by now? Mm. And so then he, you know, he expresses himself. He rebukes them. God, Emmanuel, rebukes the disciples. Hmm. Now, if you're a disciple, you're going like, oh, man, we went to Jesus University for 3 years here. We thought we were about to graduate. And then this happened. The tragedy happened. And now we're thinking there's hope. But then he shows up and he's like, he's rebuking us. You know. And then he says, okay, get ready for the commissioning ceremonies next. Right. I mean, think about it.
Wow.
The timing of that.
Right.
You know. I'm fixing to commission you to go into all the world and preach the good news of the gospel to everyone. And those that believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he says, and these signs will follow you. And so he's got all this tool chest of the kingdom. He's just handing them this tool chest. And then he says, listen, you know, do it in my name. He even put his name on people who had a stubborn refusal to believe what Mary was telling him. But think about it. That's just amazing, isn't it?
That's right. Mm.
But then it makes me think about, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. When he's talking to us, you know, think about what you were when you first were called. You know, none of you were noble birth. Y'all remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as a matter of fact, I think I have it right here. He says, none of you were noble birth. He says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. None of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Mm. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things of the world and the things that are not to nullify the things that are so that no one may boast before him. And you think about this. This is a God plan to use flawed vessels, broken vessels, clay pots, crack pots.
Crack pots.
Mm-hmm.
Made of clay to put his all-surpassing power in jars of clay to show that this is him. And somebody says, I keep being human and messing up the message. This is like, no, they see your humanity. You're actually helping the message.
Yeah.
Because they know that wasn't you that did that.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
They know that word of knowledge wasn't you. They know that healing came from God and not from you. And here he was rebuking them for their stubborn refusal to believe and their lack of faith. And then he said, get ready for the commissioning ceremony. I mean, think about it. Getting ready for the commissioning ceremony. That's powerful.
Yeah.
That's powerful. It didn't, you know, teaching along the way is so important. That's what Jesus, just teachable moments. And when we get the wrong perspective, people are like, oh my goodness, you're teaching me about means I must have failed. I must have made a mistake. And it's like, this is a teachable moment. This is a teachable mm-hmm. moment for us to learn the ways of God. And it didn't mean that it was over. It just meant, hey, that what you just did is not the way it's supposed to happen. And from this point on, you need to not be so stubborn and you need to believe.
Right.
You know, and he says, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Galatia. He says, listen, does God do these signs amongst you, these miracles amongst you because you obey some law or because you believe? Mm. You know, stubborn refusal to believe will produce a stubborn reality of no power in your life, no signs, no wonders, no miracle, no souls in your life. And it's just, I want to encourage you today that even in that whole journey right there, and they went to Jesus University, you know what I'm talking about, for 3 years, one-on-one practicum. They saw the dead rise. They saw the living fall dead. They saw, you know, power of God. They saw everything take place. The whole world was turned upside down by Jesus. And then they saw him pay the price on the cross. And then they're seeing him now come back. But prior to that, they were thinking like, no, no, no. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that you believe because you see, but blessed is he who doesn't see and believes. And that's today's church, that we believe because Christ lives inside of us. Listen, even if you doubted, even if you struggled, even if you were thinking, well, this just couldn't be in regards to how God can use you, understand this. God does use the weak things of the world, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are. Get ready for your commissioning ceremony.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Do public schools have to accommodate the religious views of a student? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Friends of mine have taken their elementary school child out of school for 4 days to a Bible conference they go to. They do this about twice a year, sometimes just once. Well, a new principal has come into their school who refused to excuse it. However, the principal who just retired did excuse her last year. And so they just don't know how to proceed or if the school has to excuse the child.
Well, I think the answer is they have to accommodate the sincerely held religious beliefs of the parents with respect to the child. They must accommodate them, and we'd be happy to talk with the school administration and clarify this, but it sounds like a lot of confusion since they're letting one group go ahead and do it and the other they're not. There may just be some real confusion here, and we'll be happy to help. But again, the school's obligation legally is to accommodate the parents' sincerely held religious beliefs.
Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan.
Yeah.
The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening in America. But this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
We are so excited about being able to encourage you, to be able to encourage you here on your journey. Think about it. Keeping the conversation light. That's what he commanded us. And that's one of the original words the Lord spoke over us is that, and he speaks over all of us, but in regards to why are we doing what we're doing, he says, because he said, go be the light of the world. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that in this dark world that it's dark. And so if we're light, if you're talking about the word of God and the ways of God, I mean, it may be rough at first because there's a lot of darkness. Right. But you're actually bringing light into that area. Mm-hmm. It makes me think of, you know, Rick Joyner and the vision mm-hmm. about that sword. And when you're waving the truth around the air, it just changes the atmosphere. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you want to change your atmosphere, I want to encourage you, begin to listen. It's 24/7, 24/7 to VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and find out all the ways that you can get us. You can watch us on Christian Television Network around the nation and around the world. But listen, you need in your workplace and your home, just let it play and just let the light come in there. But why have all that prognostication and darkness constantly coming your way?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, guys, I was thinking about today, I don't know if you've noticed this, there's a great, great need for more of God. I mean, I know that you've noticed it, but mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, there's a huge need. You got to have more.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to come to a point of total desperation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just total desperation. And one thing that I've noticed is that there's something different about desperate people. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've, you know, thought about it much, but people that are desperate, there's something different about them. Now, I know that in America, it's hard to notice people that are desperate because they're so satisfied with all the things that they have in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, it's hard to find someone that's desperate.
When you're real comfortable.
Very comfortable.
Yeah.
We live in a blessed land. There's abundance everywhere. It's hard. It's hard. But let me tell you, this is what the word desperate means. It means showing extreme urgency or intensity, especially because of great need or desire.
Wow.
Showing extreme urgency or intensity, especially because of great need or desire. It's a deep longing, a hopelessness sometimes. It's critical. It's urgent. They say, you know, it's my last resort. I'm desperate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. I mean, you got to pause on that to think 1 second, to think that in America, it's really hard sometimes to find a desperate person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, in other countries, you can see them all over the place. They're desperate. They're desperate for the simple things that many of us mm-hmm. take for granted, like water, food.
Mm-hmm.
They're desperate. Desperation is a state in which loss of hope drives a person to struggle against circumstances with utter disregard to the consequences. I mean, think about that. This is how they define desperation. It's a state in which a loss of hope, they have no hope. I mean, it's done. Whatever I was trusting in, whatever I put my hope in, there is zero hope left in this. It's driving a person to struggle against the circumstances, whatever they're facing, sometimes without disregard to the consequences. Like, it's my last resort. It's my last resort. And when I think about people in the Bible who are desperate for God, I think about a few people come to mind, and certain characteristics come to mind. And why are we talking about this? I believe that you got to get to a point that you're desperate for God. I mean, if you want God to take you to a place that you've never been, you must be willing to do something you've never done.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the great sins of the church right now is this huge complacency. Sin will cause you to be very complacent, you know, very satisfied. I have enough of God. I know John 3:16, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Got it, Jesus, the cross. And there's this complacency, but there isn't a holy desperation,
right,
a longing and a passion that says, listen, I'm not satisfied with, you know, life. I'm not just satisfied with the home. I'm not just satisfied. Oftentimes, people get caught up in the blessing that they totally forget about the blesser, God. They forget. God didn't bless us so that we can forget about him. He blesses us, and it should stir up deep appreciation and adoration for who he is. Mm-hmm. It's not for us to say, thanks for the blessing, got it, and now be enamored with the blessing, the mm-hmm. job, the car, mm-hmm. the house, the spouse, yeah. the money, the stuff, the boats, the whatever it is. And right now, there's no, it's like desperation is gone. And so it's just status quo. Mm. You know, just living normal lives and kind of fit God in, compartmentalize him, and you know, read the word of God here and there, and that's a good idea, and I can catch my everything I need on my phone. It's just satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
But when I think about certain people and I think about desperation, they're talking about having God move in your life. I think about a person in the Bible named Bartimaeus. He's called blind Bartimaeus mm-hmm. in the scriptures, but Bartimaeus was a man who had desperation.
Yeah.
And the Bible talks about it in Mark 10 that it says in verse 46, they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples. They came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. So there was just this group, this whole following, a group of people were leaving with Jesus. Jesus was passing through. And the word of God says that a blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting on the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me! Exclamation point. Don't want to scream. Mm. But many rebuked him and told him, shh, shh, be quiet. And he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me! So Jesus stopped and said, and called him. And so they called the blind man. Cheer up, get on your feet. He's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus and said, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. And the blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. And then Jesus tells him, listen, your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. See, blind Bartimaeus had a need. He was desperate. Mm. See, desperate people, one of the characteristics about desperate people is that they don't get caught up in what other people have to say about them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, dignified folks are like, you are making a scene.
Yeah, right.
We are with Jesus right now. You know, do you know how lucky we are right now to be walking with Jesus? You, blind Bartimaeus, I will hook you up later, but let Jesus pass through. He's no. I'm not gonna be denied.
Yeah, and that's, and you think about it, it's that holy hunger, that desperation, that's when you see those miracles. That's when you see Jesus responding like that. It's because Jesus responds in the hunger. Jesus responds where people are desperate for him.
Mm-hmm.
He screams.
Right.
Jesus, have mercy on me. And God responds, and he blesses him, and he heals him. But the characteristic here is that he was humble.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't care about what other people were thinking about him. He didn't care what it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't care what he had to do. See, desperate people do what they have to do.
That's right.
And oftentimes people say, well, I'm desperate. Are you really? Let me tell you something. We're going to continue this in the extra hour some more. But we're talking about desperation. And I'm telling you, if there's ever been a time where the church needs to be desperate for God, it's today. It's today because we need a move of God. But you can't have a move of God apart from God. You can't have a move of God if you're not even crying out for God.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a move of God if you don't know the reality of where your life presently is. And if you're not careful, it's so easy for people to be complacent, so easy for people to fall just right in the backside and just kick their feet up. And there's no hunger, there's no passion, there's no desire. But blind Bartimaeus stepped up to the plate and he's screaming and he's yelling and he's saying, I need to see. My need for to be touched right now, my body's so great. I need to see.
Mm.
And I'm going to do what I have to do. And he understood that Jesus was the one that can do it. So he had no pride.
Mm-hmm.
He had nothing that would restrain him in a time of his greatest hour. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this. But I'm telling you, we need a move of God. But we can't have a move of God without being desperate for God himself. How desperate are you? And we said how it's really hard in America to find somebody that's desperate. We live in the most blessed country in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the poorest American lives in more square footage than the average European. And so it's so hard to find desperation. And people will tell you, well, I'm desperate. I'm desperate. You ever heard someone say, I'm so hungry.
Mm.
I'm starving.
Right.
Oh, I'm so hungry. I'll eat anything right now. I can eat a horse.
Mm-hmm.
I can eat a pig. I'm starving.
Yeah. Well, they look like they have.
Well, then somebody brings them some broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
You're hungry? Right. Let me get you something real quick. You're hungry, right? Let me get you something. And put some broccoli on the table. Oh, I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, are you desperate?
Mm.
You told me you were desperate. You told me you were hungry.
Yeah.
I'm thirsty. It's hot out here. I'm thirsty. It's 100 degrees and they're sweating. Let me get you some water. I want a Coke. You ain't got a Coke?
Mm.
You ain't got it. You didn't have a Gatorade? You don't have... I want a Coke. All you have is this water stuff? No flavor? But you say you was hungry.
Mm.
I need a job. Can't pay the bills. Things are getting tight. Need a job. So you help them get a job. But then they say, well, I don't want that job.
Mm-mm.
I don't want that job. It's amazing to me that, see, desperate people that are really looking for work, that's how you know someone's willing looking for work.
They'll do anything.
They will do anything.
Reminds me of that guy that came to your house that day.
Yeah.
Wanting them, just looking for work.
Yeah.
Didn't even know what it was.
Didn't care.
But I'll work for you.
Didn't care what it was.
And that's something? Totally forgot about that.
Begged.
Yeah. I was leaving my house. I had to make an appointment. So I'm racing out to my car. And some guy walks up to me and says, I need some work. Do you need your lawn cut? And I said, well, I mean, I do. But, I was in a hurry. I had to make this appointment. I didn't have a lawnmower. I didn't know the man. I was kind of caught off guard, and I really didn't have the time to really talk with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, I do, but that's okay. I was trying to let the guy know politely that I didn't need his services at that moment. Had mm-hmm. I had more time, maybe I would talk to him. This man persisted. He said, sir, I'm out of work. He said, I will do anything. He said, I'll rake your grass. I'll cut your lawn. Whatever you want, I'll do a really good job for you. I promise.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And man, something just went out to me. I saw that man's, listen, desperation has a look.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw that look. I said, look, I have made an appointment. I can't do that, but I'll give you some money now. So I told him, I'll give you some money now. You just come back tomorrow morning and do the job.
Uh-huh.
He says, I'll do it. I'll be here. I gave him the money, paid him ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And just left, you know, on my way.
Cause he didn't really think he'd come back, really.
I wasn't sure. Didn't think about it, but I said, you know, he needed the money. Mm-hmm. He needed the money, so I just gave him the money and said, if he came back, whatever. If not, I just consider it, you know, whatever, an offering of blessing. He came back the next morning at the time I told him to, but knocked on the door.
But didn't he come up to you before he even left and just saying, what time do you want me to be there? Because I want to work for this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So he came that morning and I was ready to, you know, help him out.
Mm-hmm.
And he came, you know, ready to go, ready to go. And he did a great job. And I said, wow, that's desperate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's desperate. But you're not desperate. You're not desperate if you're saying that you need work and you're not willing to do anything. Not whether you're capable, not what, you know, do you have the education? We're not talking about qualifications. We're talking about a willingness. A willingness. You know, when, listen, if you're thirsty, if you're really, really thirsty, desperation will cause a thirsty man, a thirsty woman to drink dirty water because they're totally desperate for something to drink.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna go past whatever it is that's gonna, you know, would hinder you because you're desperate.
Yeah,
you're desperate. You're gonna drink that dirty water and say, "Give me that water because I need some sort of, you know, we'll pray over it and hope this." But I gotta drink this water because I'm about to pass out. I'm dehydrated out here. I'm desperate.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Isn't it so cool? All of our Facebook fans out here and our friends that are just connected and listening all around the world.
Right.
You know, if you haven't yet friended us or liked us, I guess they call it. Right. When you choose like on our Facebook, it just keeps all the posts. If there's a post made about what's an upcoming program, a highlight, something, it just shows up, I guess, on your Facebook.
Mm.
You can go to VFNTV.com and under areas to follow us, and you can just follow through our Facebook right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure can.
But it's just really cool. We want to say hello and a shout out to all of our Facebook friends that are out there. It's exciting how the message is going out and the feedback that we're getting, and we want to encourage you not only to go to our Facebook and like us, but once you've done that, you know, share some of these highlights. Go to the VFN TV blog and just copy the link of one of those blogs and encourage your fellow brother, your sister, your family member, those people that are in your group of friends that are in your Facebook. So many people need to be encouraged, and now you can go into the wonderful basket of opportunity on VFNTV.com, go to the VFNTV blog, go to the highlights, and just copy something there and just paste it into your Facebook, and they'll get it and be able to listen to it on their phones or whatever. It's just really, really cool. Also, on your application, right there on your Android or your iPhone or your iPad, they're in the menu choice on the VFNTV app. You have our Facebook right there. You can click there, follow through, and like us. Man, it's just technology is so cool, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. I meant that our listeners now can go to the, what's it called, the Google Play Store for Android phones. So they can go to iTunes Store for the Apple phones and iPads, and they can download the VFNTV app, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they can take VFNTV and the daily VFN radio program, including the highlights and all the wonderful things that are available to our listener and viewing audience right there on their phone, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can take it with you and you could listen to programs that you, even our archives, for example, say if you miss a particular program and you wanted to catch it, or you did a search and you found out, you know, this is some things I want to listen to, because we're always talking about, you know, God's news behind the news, wisdom for the day,
right?
You know, and the perspective of things going on. And that you can do that, you can carry it with you with your application, with your iPod, iPhone, Android. Just go to your application store for your mobile device and look for VFNTV. That's V Victor, VFNTV. And then when it comes up, just download it and begin to listen, and you have everything available to you. It's just so cool. You can even listen to the live program right there. Now, I don't know if you know this, if you're listening now, because obviously you know it, Pat.
Right.
That, you know, once the live program is finished on Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time, immediately, within maybe 30 minutes or so, it begins to loop. So it'll play every 2 hours. It'll play throughout the day for 24 hours to meet every time zone or your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might not be able to listen to it at that time frame, but it's available for you. So you can go to your app store, download the app. It's VFN TV, whether it's your iTunes store or whether it's your Android store, and begin to listen today.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And so we really have to understand what desperation means. What does it really mean? Because people throw words flippantly out there, and they don't know.
Yeah.
When we found out with blind Bartimaeus that he was desperate. His state of being desperate, you know, he had no hindrances. And desperate people, there's certain characteristics. They have the look, mm-hmm. the desperate look, right? They have a characteristic that they're humble. They're willing to. This man was humble. He told me he was, he's a welder. He was a welder. He had skill. I mean, he had a skill. Mm-hmm. He didn't know how to do anything. But nothing was beneath him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it wasn't beneath Bartimaeus to be shouting, probably acting all unruly. Well, there's a whole bunch of people trying to act all right. You can imagine around Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Shh, shh. Jesus is here, blind Bartimaeus.
Yeah, chill out, dude. You're embarrassing me.
You're making a scene, bro. you're cutting up again, blind Bartimaeus.
I can't take him anywhere.
I promise I will hook you up, man, but you... And then stop Bartimaeus.
Mm-mm, he didn't care.
He said, I need a touch. Yeah. I need God. I think about the Canaanite woman.
Mm.
I think about the Canaanite woman in Matthew 15. And what was amazing about this is that here's this woman that basically was suffering. And she had great need. And so in verse 21 says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to a region of Tyre and Sidon, and a Canaanite woman came from that vicinity, and she came to him crying out. The desperation, there's an inner cry for a person that's desperate. That's another characteristic. There's an inner cry, a cry that shouts louder than any voice can shout. That's an inner cry. But she was crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me, exclamation point. My daughter is suffering terribly from a demon possession. And Jesus did not answer, didn't answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. A lot of these disciples, they're like, mm-hmm. where's the compassion, brothers? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
You know, they were being discipled at the moment. They were in process.
They weren't apostles yet.
They were in process. Send her away. She keeps crying out after us. Verse 24, he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Then the woman came and knelt before him. See, desperation, humility, lower still. She knelt down before him.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible doesn't say that she whispers. I mean, there's an exclamation point. But this is what it says that she said. Lord, help me. I don't want to hear about this lost sheep of Israel stuff. I need help. With a P. Say help. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen. A prideful person be like, look, I came to Jesus. They told me about him.
But he's just gone a little bit too far.
A dog.
Who does he think he's talking to?
I mean, come on. All right. I'm going to get up off this floor right here.
That's when you find out how bad you really want it.
That's
you
right.
Go past that moment.
She says, yes, Lord. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And you're like, oh, my God. Goodness.
Wow.
There's something about a desperate person that compels you to say, what do you need?
Mm-hmm.
What? How can I help you? Then Jesus answered the woman, you have great faith. Your request has been granted. And her daughter was healed that very hour. We're talking about desperation, talking about being desperate for God. We're talking about being desperate for a move of the Lord, but you're not going to have a move of God unless you're desperate for God.
Mm-hmm.
She was desperate. Mm-hmm. Just give me a crumb.
Yeah.
Don't give me a, you know, just give me a crumb. Mm-hmm. I'll take a crumb. And then I think about the woman that had an issue of blood.
Mm-hmm.
It's just little things that I've just noticed. People that I've noticed in the Bible
right. That
were desperate. I mean, because I know in America it's hard to find someone that's desperate. So we'll just go biblical here. Yeah. We'll find some reference.
That's right.
But the woman with the issue of blood, she'd been suffering for 12 years with this issue. There's a crowd of people. Jesus is on the move. There's crowds of people all over the place. They're pressing up against him. And she reaches out to him and touches him. And literally, Jesus feels virtue. Virtue come from out of his body. And he looks at his disciples and says, "Who touched me?"
Mm-hmm.
And one of the disciples says, Jesus, there's people
everybody's
everywhere.
Touching you.
Everybody's touching you. What are you talking about? Who touched you? He said, no. Who touched me? See, the inner cry, the desperation that was on the inside of her touched what was on the inside of him.
That's right.
And that desperation drew out what Jesus had in him that she needed in her. She needed a touch from God. But you can imagine how this woman, I mean, she had an issue with blood. I mean, this is blood here. It's wet. It's noticeable. It probably doesn't smell good. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of people everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she didn't come in and make a scene.
Mm-hmm.
But she, you know, got up in there, unnoticed, got low. Yeah.
In Jewish culture at that point, that was a no-no. I mean, you're unclean.
Yeah.
You better get away from everybody.
Yeah.
But what's powerful about that, too, is like there was such a crowd around him that they were pressing so much. But you think about it, she came up behind him. She was kneeling in that humility. And of all of that, all the crowd that was around him, she was the only one that got touched.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like who's going to stand out with that desperation amidst the crowd? And what's even the powerful about that is like, think about the doctors of all the people that she went to of all the years of her sickness, but Jesus called her daughter because he responds to that hunger. He responded to that desperation, like you're saying.
She reaches out.
Yeah.
And she says, if I could just touch the cloak, if I could just touch his garment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If I could just. Willing to go past him. We talked about the definition of desperation is a state in which a loss of hope drives a person to struggle against circumstances with utter disregard for the consequences. Like you were saying earlier, Pat, it's like, I'm not even supposed to be out in public right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to contaminate somebody.
She took a big chance.
But her desperation calls her to leap out in faith. You would say risk, but we would say faith.
Mm-hmm.
To say, I'm going to go for it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for it. But that's because there wasn't a hope in the doctors.
Mm-mm.
And the thing about living in America right now is that believers and people alike have so many places to hang their hope on. They hang their hope on the doctors. They hang their hope on the medicine. They hang their hope on the job.
Mm-hmm.
They hang their hope on the home. They hang their hope on the fact that they've got credit cards. They hang the hope that there's a fitness center and they're in good health and they're eating right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many places that they hang their hope that there's no need to be desperate. There's no need to have a real revelation of really the state that you're actually in.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to wake up. I mean, Revelation talks about Revelation 3 about a spiritual condition. And in Revelation 3 talks about the church of Laodicea. It says, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. And he talks about the church. He says, I know your deeds, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. But then he goes on to say this in verse 17. It says, you say I'm rich, I have acquired wealth, and I don't need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked.
Mm.
And I counsel you to buy gold from me refined by the fire so that you can really become rich. I mean, there's such a great deception to think that everything's all right, I'm okay, status quo, I'll have a little bit of God and a little bit of the world. Listen, look at the state we're in this country. We need to peel back our eyelids. We need to wake up. We need to see what is happening. 50-plus children have been murdered, not killed, murdered in abortions. You look at what's happening all across the land. God's being taken out of everything. Evil's being called good. Good's being called evil. Listen, we're living in desperate times. We're living in hopeless times. If you're putting your hope in anywhere else, let me tell you something. These are hopeless times without God.
That's right.
And I think about this hymn that was written by Edward Mote many years ago. And I actually thought about this morning. But the song is called "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less." Mm. You may be familiar with it, but the song starts out by saying, or the hymn song says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." I mean, this song is a classic today. It's a hymn that's been sung amongst many believers. But do we really understand the power of these words, and do we really have the revelation? Is your hope today really built on nothing less? Listen, the only thing that we have, the only thing that's real, the only thing that lasts forever and eternity is Jesus, his blood, and his righteousness. See, we have no righteousness of our own. Mm. Listen, the entrance to heaven is not going to be that we're a good person. You know, we tried harder. Jesus is love. It's going to be that, listen, we were bought by the blood of the Lamb. It's because we have his right. We don't have any righteousness of our own. It's his righteousness. Mm-hmm. It's the only thing that we have. And if you're putting your hope and your trust in anywhere else, you're going to be hopeless. Because whatever you're trusting in eventually is going to fall out.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Because it's become an idol. Because you've lifted up to the place higher than God. Let me tell you something. There's nothing like running hard after the Lord. There's nothing like chasing hard after. We talked about being in pursuit of God, intimacy with the Lord, communion with him. Are you desperate today? You know if you're desperate. There's a humility inside of you that says, I want more of God. I'm not satisfied with what I have, and I'm willing to do what I have to do. I'm willing to go where I have to go. I'm willing to listen to what I have to listen to. I'm willing. The condition of your heart is ready. Another characteristic of a desperate person, if you're desperate for God, you understand that there's an urgency, there's a criticalness. There is an understanding that there's not much time.
Yeah.
Because I'm desperate. I can't live in this present state anymore. And it's scary to be comfortable when, in fact, your true conditions of your life should cause you to say, I'm desperate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would be concerned of someone who spent countless hours in the desert, who is thirsty, physically thirsty. You can see it on their body. They're drenched with sweat, and you know they haven't drunk any water, and mm-hmm. They're not even saying they're thirsty.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, this concerns me here. Because it's been 10 hours and you haven't drunk anything. And we've been sitting out here for the 100-degree weather.
Mm-hmm.
And you're drenched with sweat. I mean, you look dehydrated. I'm fine. In the spiritual realm, how many believers are walking around totally dehydrated in their spiritual life?
And don't even know it.
Mm. Walking, you know, bent over, breathing hard. Drenched.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Everything's sticking on them. Everything's fine. Everything's good.
I'm good.
No, you're not good. You're spiritually dehydrated. You're going down. Mm-hmm. You should be desperate for the living water. You should be desperate for the water that doesn't run dry. You should be desperate for Jesus right now. We're talking about characteristics of a desperate person. A desperate person is willing to persevere past the struggle.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to talk to you just for a quick moment here. You may be at the end of your religious road. You may have done everything religious that you could think of. I mean, you may have sung in choirs. You may have had perfect, quote, church attendance, unquote. You may have got real close to those who are in ministry. You may have done all these things, but yet you're empty. You've found yourself, you know, seeking and running after what you perceive to be right, but you're running after things, and man, and not God. Listen, that's a seek that God's put inside of you. That's a seek that God's put inside of you. He's put that inside of you. And what it is, you were seeking after him in the wrong places. Listen, he is after you. And the fact that you've done that means you're after him. But you just got to get on the right road. You just got to get off the religious road and get on the relationship road. You got to meet God. The whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. And God loves you. God has a plan for your life. But you've got to meet him. You meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus made a way for you to be in relationship with the creator of the universe. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's about a joyful walk in the Lord. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello. I don't know where that came from.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
We're just talking in the break time about Pat and his sleep deprivation and John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
He only got 9 hours sleep last night.
Yeah. Only nine. Yeah, right.
Just sleep a little bit more, man.
Yeah. Oh, my
goodness.
That's
like 2 days worth of sleep.
Well, so Pat and I were in Washington, D.C.
Oh, please do tell.
We were in Washington, D.C., and he looks strong. All I got to do is keep him up all night. I mean, he'll be over.
Yeah, much.
But it's so much. It's a facade.
Yes.
And so we're staying at this particular guy's house for staying in the gap, actually.
Yeah.
And he had this deep passion for God, you know, knowing him as Father.
Father's heart.
His Father's heart. And and so he's talking to us, and we've been on all day long to the mall and just zoos and whatever else in Washington. And so I'm listening to this guy. I'm just like on the edge of my seat, right? And Pat's kind of sitting here to the back side of me, and they had pizza. And he was sitting on the edge of the table, and he's whispering. He's saying...
The guy is.
Yeah. Patting his hands squat. And so the guy's going, "It's the Father's heart." Right?
It's
like, no. I'll show you Pat in a moment. So I'm leaning forward. I'm like, this guy's got it. It's the Father's heart. It's the Father's heart. So I'm so intense and intrigued. I'm thinking, this guy's got it. And I look back at Pat, and Pat's like, his face was hanging down. He was chewing on a piece of pizza. I'm looking like, you ain't even listening. It's the Father's heart. And I found out why he was whispering, because he didn't want to wake up Jezebel. Yeah. He was actually held captive.
Down in the basement.
He was dead. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
But we had a wonderful time.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful time. It was a wonderful time.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I think about the sinful woman who came to anoint Jesus. And Jesus is hanging out with a Pharisee at his house. They're kind of just, you know, hanging out, having dinner. And she shows up on the scene, and she comes with an alabaster jar. Mm-hmm. And in verse 36, it says, now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured perfume on them. See, a desperate person is not concerned about how they look. I mean, you read further on in this chapter, the Pharisee was actually judging her. If judging Jesus, if he really knew who she was, she had lived a sinful life, who was touching him. She knew what she had done wrong. She knew before God what had happened, how she failed him. Mm-hmm. But she heard when Jesus was there.
That's right.
And that desperation, she was tired of probably living a shameful life, being shamed, being ridiculed, being looked down at. She said, I'm willing to persevere. I'm willing to go past my circumstance. I'm willing to look past what everyone has to say about me. And I'm going to go to Jesus myself. And she got low. She started crying at his feet. She brought him an offering. She said, I'm desperate. Mm-hmm. And she felt broken before God. See, desperate people are broken before God. They don't have too many answers. They don't try to lecture others or lecture God. They say, God, if you don't do it, it's not going to happen. God, if you don't show up, this is not going to be good. I mean, I think about Moses, and Moses says, listen, if you don't go, I'm not going. You got to go with us. Mm-hmm. You got to go with us. I think about that song from Morningstar Ministries, that's everything else has to go. I gotta have God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You gotta come to the point in your life, everything's gotta go. It doesn't matter anymore. It just doesn't matter. Listen, if you only knew you had a month left to live, would it matter? Would it matter? We should live with that stamped on our forehead. We should have eternity stamped on our forehead. Mm-hmm. What matters is running hard after the Lord. It's having a desperate heart that says, I'm willing to go and chase after you. And another characteristic is willing to pay the personal costs. See, a desperate person understands that there's costs with this. You mm-hmm. know, I'm desperate, the water looks nasty, but hey, you know, I got to drink it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm hungry. It's not the best thing. It's not going to taste good, but I'm starving. I'm going to eat. And you think about, you hear survival stories of people that are out there that says, you ate a squirrel? You ate a what?
Yeah.
An armadillo? What did you eat?
You ate a cricket?
Yeah. You ate a bug?
Yeah.
And they'll tell you, oh, you would eat one too if you were hungry.
Mm-hmm. Get to that place.
You know, why do we need to get to that place and have all these things happen to us? Why don't we kind of put ourselves in that place and that need of God? Mm-hmm. But desperate people, hungry people that are trying to survive, they'll eat anything.
Right.
They're starving.
Yeah.
In some cases, people have ate other people. That's a whole other story. But think about that. I mean, they've eaten animals. They've eaten stuff that they've never even would have eaten. Mm-hmm. But they're desperate. I think about the hiker who got trapped, and they made a movie about him. But it's a true story. He got trapped in one of these canyons. Mm-hmm. He was by himself. He slipped down and he got stuck. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many days exactly it was, but it was maybe like 48 hours. I'm not exactly sure. But his arm was pinned in this cave. He mm-hmm. couldn't scream, no cell phone, no nothing. He was left to die. Mm-hmm. But there was something on the inside of him. He said, I want to live. I'm desperate. I got to live. He cut his arm off. He cut his arm off so that he can escape. And guess what? They found him. And he lived to tell the story. Mm-hmm. They made a movie about this man's life.
Wow.
But he was desperate. Listen, when you're desperate, you're going to start cutting things out of your life that needs to be cut out. That arm, as good as it was at that particular time, it was stopping him, going to kill him because he couldn't get anything to drink. I mean, he was trying to, you should hear him tell the story. He was putting things out with one arm to, you know, to gather water and drink. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he was desperate. He was desperate. Question is, are you desperate for God that way? Are you desperate for God that he's all you have? He's all you need. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit. On my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Everything else is sinking sand. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Goodness, listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just go to VFNTV.com, mm-hmm. click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded in your stuff somehow, and you can mm-hmm. play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that Yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you. It's yours. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.